Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Drangate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Drangate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. Amen, no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game. Amen, no rain.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God, Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Dude, we carved pumpkins today. Like, nice. It's like one of my favorite days of the year. The boy and I hit up Woodman's. I don't know if you have Woodman's out where you live, but they're pretty awesome stores. Got some $6 jumbo pumpkins. And like, I don't know, do you carve pumpkins, Mike? Do you partake in the carving of the pumpkin?
I do, but I am not very artistic, but my wife is very, like, she can actually do all the designs and make them look super nice.
See, I was wondering that because I'm not one of those people either. I need to be like, I like to say I'm a traditionalist, where I go with the old school pumpkins with like the triangle eyes and like the buck teeth and stuff like that, because that's all I'm capable of doing.
Yeah. No, my wife gets like super into it. Well, she's, I should really, I don't have it in here. I think it's in storage, but she actually had painted a picture of the WrestleMania 8 cover for me for like my birthday one year. Just like drew it like freehand and colored it and painted it.
The one
does other stuff too, like does really good stuff.
The one with Sid and Hogan and Macho and Flair.
Yeah, but it's like it's just of Flair though, and he's doing the big woo. And like as soon as I saw it, like I knew that like which one she got it for. She didn't know WrestleMania 8. Like she doesn't even know what that is, but like she just looked up Ric Flair and she knew like this is like pre Dark Side of the Ring scandal, by the way. and just kind of painted me this thing, and I it was actually hanging up in my previous office. I need to get it up here though, but I'll have to put it up off camera somewhere because this is the office that I work in, so I'm not gonna have like Ric Flair behind me while I work.
Yeah, Ric Flair behind you while you're working, especially if you work for a bank and stuff. Yeah, that'd be a bad move.
Yeah,
however, pretty cool in the wife.
Yeah. No, she's like a legit artist. She's really good at that stuff. Me, not so much. My daughter is taking up after her too. She's constantly drawing and coloring and doing all kinds of stuff. So
yeah, people mistakenly think that I'm artistic because I write and I teach Photoshop courses, and like, no, I can't draw for shit. So I got nothing artistic in me whatsoever.
Yeah, no, same here. Like I've taken music lessons and like, I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. I quit all the time. I'm looking at a guitar teacher out here because I'm like, before I die, I got to learn how to play this damn guitar. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but I want it to happen. Like, it's got to happen.
My brother is a really good guitar player. He played bass in a bunch of bands growing up. And like, I love music so much, but I can't, I can't do it. Andy and I will drive in the car and we sing the duet of Hunger Strike from Temple of the Dog. Like,
I'm hungry.
Oh, I love it. But it's the kid's favorite song. So like, I'll sing the Eddie Vedder parts and he'll sing the Chris Cornell parts. And he's like, he's hell bent. He's like, Dad, I'm going to have a band someday. I need you to be the singer. And I'm like, sure, pal. We could do that.
Yeah.
I can't carry a fucking tube. My sister-in-law studied opera at the University of Vienna, like in Austria.
Wow.
And she's like a classically trained singer. She actually taught me how to coach better. Like, she taught me not to scream when I'm coaching, so it blows out your vocal cords. She taught me how to like yell from my diaphragm. So now my yelling is super on point because of that. But like, I can't fucking carry a goddamn note, but the kid thinks I can. So that's all that matters, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they think that we are like superheroes, but we are mere mortals, and for the most part most dads are talentless hacks, so we do have some talents, and
I think we're not talentless. Yeah. I think we're more talented than most, but
right,
we're
not musically inclined. You know what's so funny is that I actually in sixth and seventh grade was in like the marching band in junior high, and I started off at the trumpet, but as I got fatter, they put me to like the tuba, and then I actually played the big sousaphone that like wraps around you. And I was in the marching band. And then I had to like decide, what do I want to do? Do I want to stick with the marching band? And I was pretty good. Or do I want to play football? And I made the wrong decision, to be honest with you. I played football. And like to this day, my shoulders don't work. So
my shoulders came out of football. Okay. High school football. That's where I got my neck injury. I had two herniated discs in C5, C6, and C6, C7. That actually happened in football, and it was exacerbated from years of wrestling. I see a lot of kids because, like, I got, you know, teaching. I see a lot of kids that play football and are in the band and have to make that choice.
Yeah,
junior year or when they become good for varsity. I told you I'm not letting the boy play football.
I think we've had this discussion before. I think I don't know if it was on the air though, but yeah, because I'm kind of like leaning towards that myself, just because I like some of my physical ailments and how they like it legit started with football.
I'm a firm believer you play sports, like clearly wrestling. Yeah. Like he's gonna wrestle, and he's actually a pretty good little soccer player. This on Sundays we go work on his goalie skills. He wants to be a good goalie, but like, he's way into soccer, way into wrestling. And he seems like when I bring him up to our broadcasts on football games, he kind of zones out.
Yeah.
You know, he has no idea what's going on in football. Like his jiu-jitsu coach is like, whoo, then he was asking all the kids like these football questions for like the Bears. He gets to Andy, he goes, I forget what he asked. And he just looked at me and just did this. Like, like he's a 9-year-old that has zero clue what's going on with pro football. Yeah. Which is fine because his dad's 45 and has zero clue what's going on in the NFL. So
yeah, I told my wife, like, if he wants to do sports, I would like him, like, wrestling I think would be good for him, jiu-jitsu would be good. Mm-hmm. But I was like, for the like, if we're really smart, we'll put a baseball in his hand early. Because Shohei Ohtani just made $700 million off his last contract.
Insane.
And Juan Soto is like right up there, and all, and like these guys, and they can play for, you can play baseball for 20 years. Like
if you're lucky, because now you have all the problem with these kids playing travel ball so young.
Yes.
That these coaches are blowing their shoulders off from pitching so many innings. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's
if
crazy.
It were, yeah, if it were up to me, it'd be like, you know, you're going to play like center field or second base or something like that, you know.
I was advised to give my kid a golf club.
There you go.
And I did not take that advice up because my dad was a golf pro, not a pro golfer, but a golf pro. Like he was like good enough to like, yeah, good. Yeah, basically a glorified caddy. Like he was good enough to teach people how to play golf. Okay. So like, like he would teach people, like he just gave him an excuse to hang out on the course. So, he took me golfing one time, and I was 20. I was all full of testosterone, you know, college athlete, and I fucking sucked at golf so bad. I could not, and eye, so I'm going to lean into that. I'm a disabled person, mind you. I could not hit that fucking ball in a hole to save my life. And I launched a putter, and I launched it hard. And my father looked me in the eye and said, I will never bring you here again. And he passed away almost 2 years ago, and he lived up to those words. We never went golfing again.
He was a man of his word.
Man of his word. He never even asked me after that.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if you're listening, we're going to get to the wrestling talk soon, but I now have to share my one and only golf story. Cause I too have only been golfing one time. So we were in Korea, and our flight commander was really big into golf. He was a Korean American guy. He was actually like adopted out of North Korea and like grew up in Wisconsin. And he was like this like Korean redneck. He'd always have a big dip in his mouth. He listened to country music. He wore shit kickers.
I know exactly the kind of guy you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. His name, his last name is Hill. And one of my buddies said, he goes, oh, Captain Hill. He goes, when you got your citizenship test, did they give you your H? And he looks at us. He's like, what are you? And then I realized what he said. Oh, ill instead of Hill. Like he got his H when he became an American. I was like, oh my. And it, like, we all just fell on the floor just dying. He thought that was so funny.
That's great.
But yeah, he was the best. But he's still alive. He's still really cool. But it was his idea to go golfing for PT one day, right? Which the new shithead Secretary of War would not approve. But we decided we're going to go golfing for PT. And I was like, hey, I've never golfed before. I'm like, oh, that's fine. We'll teach you. And then I show up, and sure enough, there's cases of beer, right? And this is like 2011. So I'm like prime Mike Gilbert at this point. And it's like 1 p.m. We start drinking early. I've never hit a golf ball to say like in my life. But for whatever reason, I like my on my what do they call it when you tee off? Yeah. What do they call that?
The tee box.
That, yeah. So like I'm like the first hole I tee off on this thing, and I get it pretty close to the green. I walk up and I get it right onto the green on my second shot. So I'm already on the green, and these guys are like way behind me, and they're like oh hey, just take the golf cart and just drive up onto the green and wait for us up there. I'm like, okay. So I get in the golf cart and I drive all the way up onto the green. And I, you know, get my little putter guy out, and I'm, you know, getting ready to line up my shot and get it into the hole. And I just start hearing some yelling from some old Korean man, and he's angry, and he's coming out there. He's driving from the golf house, from the clubhouse. He goes, you get your ass off of that right now. I was like, what the hell? And he's like yelling and cussing at me. I'm like, what the hell? This guy's like getting on me. And I'm like 4 or 5 beers deep into this point. So I'm like angry. And he goes, get off the green right now. And I go, I said, F you and all this stuff to him. And then I look over and all my friends are dying laughing. I didn't know you're not supposed to drive the golf cart up onto the green. Like I didn't, they knew that. They knew they set me up,
they
which
just let it happen. That's awesome.
Dude, and I've never gone golfing again.
You and I have talked. We've talked about my dad. My dad was really struggled with alcoholism his whole life. Succumbed to it eventually. He drank a lot, but he refused to drink on the golf course. Like for him, he was like, he said that was amateur hour. He goes, amateurs do that. And he would just like scoff his nose at men drinking beer on the golf course or taking the cart. He's like, you walk the course. And my dad, raging alcoholic, yeah. walked the course, 36 holes. And would not touch alcohol. And the clubhouse afterwards, it was fucking lights out. But like while he was on the course, it was like the most zen he ever was. So I hear these stories, and it always makes me think of my snob ass, ridiculous alcoholic father who thought he was better than everybody else because he would not drink on the course.
Like we all have the standard that we have to live by, exactly. Right? It's like exactly. Other standards don't matter, but this specific standard is super important that we have to live by. Sure. And I'm sure both of us have specific standards that like maybe nobody else cares about, but like it's important to us.
Okay, here's a great example. I don't drink, right? I don't do anything wrong. I haven't eaten anything today other than gluten-free cookies. We went to this orchard today, and I bought. I told you about the pumpkins. They have these amazing gluten-free cookies, and I bought like 10 of them, and they're huge, and I ate them all. Ate every single one of them. Yeah. I haven't anything else to eat all day today. All I had was cookies, and I feel terrible.
Hey,
my stomach's killing me.
You know, I think a lot of people are used to us like skipping Sunday nights, but here we're back on Sunday night, so we don't have a lot of people watching. We do have a guy in the chat, brother XWF, which I think is Jimmy Hartsburg, a wrestling federation from like 2002.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get to you in a minute, but before we get into the wrestling talk and we reveal our ballots, which that's happening today, have you partaken in any like Halloween or horror movies this month? Because last year we overdosed on them, and we were talking on the show a lot, but I've only knocked out one this year so far.
So this year has been special in the Oliva house because I've introduced Andy to horror movies. He's 9, and after much debate from the wife, this is the year that I've allowed him to start imbibing in 1980s specific horror movies. Nice. So we have been partaking in the classics. Just last week we watched Halloween, the original.
The OG.
The OG film. And last night we watched Poltergeist for the first time. Movie holds up pretty good. Some of the effects don't work out, but performance and everything else, Poltergeist still pretty damn good. So yeah, man, we've been doing a lot of that, showing them Lost Boys, Silver Bullet. We've checked out this year, and of course the Monster Squad.
Yeah, well, a Monster Squad is like a must. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hoping to get to more, but right now I've only seen the new Fear Street on Netflix.
How was it?
It's okay. Like okay. The other three movies they did, I thought were excellent. What the hell? Hold on. I had the YouTube thing on my phone just so I could share it on Twitter, and all of a sudden it started playing. It was so weird. I heard my own voice talking back to me.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
It creeped me out. But yeah, so you know, Fear Street, R.L. Stine, but it's like more for like teenagers. The original, the three that they did, I think 2 years ago, was I actually thought was really good. But the new one, Fear Street Prom Night, 80s style, it was like okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There's I was really looking for, are you familiar with Sinners, that movie that came out this year?
Yeah. It's
Michael B. Jordan. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
I heard it was great, and I was looking forward to it. I was talking to my brother about it, same guy who's married to the opera singer, and he's like, yeah, dude, it's great. I said, can't wait to see it. He goes, yeah, and it's like a musical. And when I heard that, I'm not gonna watch it.
I didn't know that, so yeah, now I'm not watching it.
I've ruined that for you too.
Yeah.
Although I heard good things about Weapons. Weapons is sitting on HBO Max right now. I heard nothing but good things about it, so I need to see that.
I have heard the same. And there's another one that's on HBO Max that has Pedro Pascal. That's more of a classic type 80s horror movie. Let me see. Pedro Pascal.
He's in everything, so you have to sort through his IMDb to find anything.
Pascal horror. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
See, so yeah, I want to check out Weapons because that got some really good love this year. Also, Welcome to Derry starts this week. I'm excited. I don't know why it starts so late, but I'm gonna check that out.
That's from the It like universe.
Yeah,
right?
they're gonna bleed that. Although there's a couple scenes that have never made movies from that book that could actually fit into that if they do that. So we'll see what they play into.
Yeah, it's called Freaky Tales. It's a Lionsgate movie. It's on HBO Max. I've heard it's really, really good. So
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out. And so that one was recommended to me. So I'm at least trying to get Freaky Tales and Weapons knocked out. I'm currently watching Ed Gein on Monster, the Ed Gein story on Netflix. And you got to be careful because if you watch the show, like all of a sudden you'll start talking like Ed Gein. Hello, Mulder. I'm making some pickles. Hello, Mulder.
Did you know that the Ed Gein story was the inspiration for both Psycho and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
I did know that. And in fact, on episode 2, they actually have like this, a scene in there where, I don't want to give it away, but a scene in there with Hitchcock pitching the movie, essentially. Like he's talking to the guy who wrote the book and the guy's telling him about Ed Gein, going into detail on the story. And like Hitchcock is like coming up with the idea for the movie. That's in episode 2. They did it really weird. So my only problem with it so far is the guy that plays Ed Gein, he's the dude from Sons of Anarchy. He played Jack Teller.
Charlie Hunnam, right?
Charlie Hunnam, yeah.
Yeah.
He's they have a scene there where he's like naked, and I was like, he's way too jacked to be Ed Gein. It's like like he's like, he doesn't have an ounce of fat on his body, and he's like ripped. It's like, what are we doing? It's like, who are you guys? Like, come on. Like I'm okay with a little bit of like Hollywoodizing the story. Like they have a couple of things in there that I just know were not true because I know the story. And I'm like okay with it, but you're trying to make Eddie Gein into like a sex symbol. It's like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was one brief scene in the beginning of the show, but
did I ever tell you my mom's family grew up with John Wayne Gacy?
I think you did. Cause he's at a show. Cause we talked about John Wayne Gacy. Cause I watched the documentary on Peacock. That's a new series coming out too. The John Wayne Gacy series.
But. Yeah, his sister and my aunt were best friends growing up. And she moved after that whole thing happened. She moved, went to Florida.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to get to the wrestling talk. All right.
God, we're getting as bad as Joe and Rich, dude. We're 20 minutes into the show and we're talking about wrestling.
Yeah, they're usually talking about like the 1989 Montreal Expos or something.
Did you hear this week's show? They talked about sports betting for like an hour, legitimately.
Yeah. I lost $15 this weekend. I'm not happy about it, but the payout would have been like $5,000 though, had I hit the parlays, but
damn.
Yeah. So the funny thing is that I have to, it's illegal in South Carolina to use the online sports betting. But if I go across the border to North Carolina, I can do it. So while I'm at work, I can place bets, but I can't even look at the bets when I get home. I have to, if I win, I have to drive over across the border to collect the winnings. That's
hilarious. How far are you from the border of North
Carolina? Like 15 minutes. So I could head over to like Cookout or Chick-fil-A across the bridge and like sit there and collect my winnings. It wouldn't be a big deal. All right. Did any of you guys see NXT Halloween Havoc yesterday? No, I did see what happened, but I don't, I don't really watch NXT. I don't think it's particularly very good. That doesn't mean that good stuff doesn't happen on it, but overall, my experiences since they have removed the glorified Ring of Honor promotion, which is what it was, I think, in like the black and gold era, when Triple H was running it. It was like a mix. It was like the best of TNA, the best of Ring of Honor, and the best of Indies all in one area, and they were actually making real stars. Now it's a glorified wrestling school, and I actually think that's a good idea. I think that's a good thing for them, and they're actually going to get some real stars like Bron Breakker, a guy from college. He's going to be the world champion soon. I think Trick Williams is going to be a big-time wrestler. Obafemi is going to be huge. So they're actually like, it's working, right, what they're doing. I'm not going to watch it. So, and I know TNA is on there, and like, you know, me being a TNA podcaster, maybe I should pay a little bit more attention to it. I don't really care to see Hardys versus Dork State. I saw them before. They're terrible. I'm just not interested. So
I know you shouldn't judge wrestling by gifts, but it was really hard watching some of that stuff and being like, woof. Although I do find it funny. I did catch some of Jeff Hardy flying through tables and stuff like that. I seem to remember a couple of years ago, a lot of people very upset about him doing that when it was in AEW television. Those voices seem to be quiet now that it's not back on WWE TV. Funny how that works out.
Yeah. Seem not really a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. So that is my NXT experience from the weekend. Although I did hear that Ricky Starks versus Trick Williams was pretty good. And
not surprised. Ricky Starks good.
Yeah, and Tatum Paxley is the new champion, and Dork State, the new NXT tag champions, they beat the Hardys in a 4-on-2 match. So there you go. I heard about that.
Tatum Paxley's the spooky girl with the dolls, right?
Sure. Like
I saw a thing on Twitter. It was her and Mr. Iguana. He had his fucking iguana talking to her dolls, and I wanted to run my face into a belt sander.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, I can't watch wrestling that. And then I put on AEW for 5 minutes and the fucking puppet was back. And I'm like, I hate everything. I hate pro wrestling so much.
I sent you the video, right, of my experience watching AEW the other night. As soon as Mercedes Moné came out and they were doing a celebration, I just videoed myself changing the channel so people knew exactly what I thought. So I didn't actually see the puppet. I heard about it later and I'm like, I made the right decision. I put on the Charlotte Hornets, who were up at the time, and they ended up winning. So there you go. Speaking of bad wrestling and bad creative and bad ideas, Vince Russo might actually be back, JD.
Might he? Or
I might have gotten worked. So here, okay. So here's the thing. So Bound for Glory, the day of, there's like a rumor had started online that it wasn't like a big one. Like it wasn't like more in like DMs and stuff that Vince Russo was coming back to a company. Right. I texted you and John, and I told you guys, like, I think Vince Russo might be back in wrestling, but nobody wants to say who or where or what.
Well, for good reason.
And so then yesterday morning, he does a SmackDown review. I had no idea that the guy is doing a SmackDown review on Sports Kita, with this other guy. But the show's ending. So this was like their last show. This is what I learned during this. So some guy put the link out there and said, hey, Vince announces that he is returning to wrestling. He's going to the NWA on there. And then he put the link. And I was like, okay, well, I did hear that he's coming back, right? So I was like, but I don't think I could sit through an entire podcast of Vince Russo. I just can't do it. Oh, okay. So Gerard can. Gerard can do that. So
respect.
Yeah, respect Gerard. So he put a video in our chat, and I saw the timestamp on there. So I went ahead and watched it myself, and it sounded to me like he's coming back. So I went ahead and quote tweeted it, and sure enough, it got a bunch of steam, got some buzz. For whatever reason, fucking Michael Elgin's in my DM, not my DMs, but in
your mentions.
I had to mute him. Like he's still going off. So, I didn't even know that the guy followed me. I looked at, when I went to go mute him, I saw that he followed me. I had no idea, but, what really caught steam was the fact that Vince on the show, and I'm going to play the clip here in a sec. On the show, talking about some of the ideas that he has written for this new program, or for this program that he's writing for, has a female wrestler who is using the Me Too card so that way she can keep her power within the company. And if that doesn't scream Vince Russo, I don't know what does, right? Like, that's exactly what we need in pro wrestling.
For the record, this doesn't get clipped. Mike is being sarcastic when
he says, for sure.
When you said that, because you texted us that, and I thought to myself, that is 100% something Vince Russo would write.
Yeah. Now, I'm not an advocate for him coming back. I think it's a stupid idea. However, I'm probably going to check it out now because I am a fan of train wrecks, and I am not one of these guys that's like fighting causes for wrestling. I think most of them are all just bad people. So I'm just going to watch it anyway. So like he's this awful dude that's coming back that hasn't had a good idea in almost 30 years. Let's see he's got.
About Russo or Billy here.
Vince Russo. Yeah. Yeah. NWA at one point in time was cool. And when they had Dave Lagana, it turns out he's also a creep. So fuck. This company just can't win.
Man, 2019 was a great year for pro wrestling, and then everything really fell apart with that pandemic.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
Dude, I used to really enjoy it. Watch NWA, and then Dynamite would come on right after that. Like, it was the NWA Power was a good show back then. It was.
Yeah. The booking was good. It was solid. The great promos on it. It was a throwback. Jim Cornette was on commentary. I thought he was great.
Eddie Kingston was there. Cabana, Ricky Starks.
Eli Drake was on there.
Eli Drake. Nick Aldis,
James Storm.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The wrestling wasn't great on the show. Was not great, but the promos were fun. It was well booked. It was like watching Crockett in quite at the peak, but like when it was getting interesting.
Yeah, and then Cody won the NWA title from Nick Aldis at All In, and then they did the return match in a cage at a pay-per-view, and it was also a really good match. Like, they had some good stuff going on, and then the whole thing just blew up. But here, okay, so I'll let you guys be the judge if he's coming back or not. I'm going to play the clip. JD, you tell me what this sounds. Now, keep in mind, this is maybe a 40-second clip, so it doesn't have the entire context of the conversation. Now, I guess this had all started because Conan and Disco Inferno had put out there on their podcast that Russo was coming back, I think as a gag,
worst people.
Yeah. I don't listen to that show. So I didn't know that part. I didn't know that context of it. So I learned later, although they did mention it briefly here, but I didn't know the entire context of it. And once this video is over, that's where I stopped. So that's the, I just can't do anymore. I can't continue to listen to Vince Russo. So everybody, like, that's the extent of my investigative journalism is right here with this 40-second clip. So I'll let you guys decide: is Vince Russo coming back or is he not? All right,
Mac. I'm gonna start doing some work. I don't want to say with who yet because I don't want to ruin it for them. I'm gonna start doing some work with a wrestling promotion. And I spent like last week.
Hey, by the way, Vince, I don't mean to cut you off, but I know who it is because I heard Disco and Conan talking about it. And yeah, you're going to be going to the NWA. You're riding for the NWA.
They got that right, man. But
or MLW, maybe that was the other one I heard too. That you might be. Yeah.
Mac, I got to tell you this, and this is the God honest truth. The first 9 shows I wrote, first of all, somebody gets concussed and we talk about concussion protocol, number one. Number two, we drug test. And not this is in storyline now. This is in storyline. And not only do we drug test in storyline, but the guy responsible for taking the drug test literally stands next to the stall of the wrestler to make sure they're not using somebody else's piss. Yep. We do that.
That's exactly
and
what
also,
we need
to. A female wrestler who is in danger of losing power pulls the Me Too card in the first 9 shows.
Wow. All right. So I'll let you guys decide. Okay. But it sounds to me like he's coming back and he's already got these episodes written.
I would have 100% believed it unless Mac, what's his name? I forgot the other guy. That guy goes, or was it MLW?
Yeah.
Like, so that's the only hint that I have that it's probably a gag. If Russo's working a bit, it's the most convincing he ever was. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like the idea of like the concussion protocol angle. I actually think that's a good idea.
Hold on. What time is it right at 20? No. Okay, I just got to clip that for
9:30.
JD likes the Vince Russo idea.
I like the Vince Russo idea. I didn't hate it. That's actually, I heard that. I'm like, well, it's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's not bad to keep a guy out. You can't be in the ring. You have a concussion.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who deals with that with kids' sports all the time. Like, it's frustrating. There's some drama there that's not exploited in wrestling. I just got canceled. Yeah. What was the second one? Oh, the piss test.
Yeah.
When he goes, we're gonna have a guy in the stall watching him. That's Russo. That checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, but like the guy in the stall has to make a comment about the guy's wang. Like that. Like that's where Russo comes in, and he's gonna say that it's small. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like that's Russo's kink. Like he likes to abuse women and talk about small wangs.
Or talk about Sid Vicious using the fake penis to piss.
Yeah.
There's something there. The Me Too card. Yeesh.
Yeah. So here's my stance on that. I think that pro wrestling, when it's in this world of complete fiction, right, and that likes the universe you set, you can do some racy and you can do some out of bounds type stories because NCIS does it, right? Mm-hmm. Law and Order does it. So if pro wrestling wants to do it, like if that's the world they want to be in, they can do that. The problem is that they borders on reality and wrestling fans don't really like shit like that. And that storyline is a bit too close to home because it's going to like make people think that these women were lying. And that's not going to be a good thing. I don't think that the wrestling business is mature enough to handle kind of complicated stories like that. We remember when Juice Robinson had the Friedman written on the roll of quarters, right? And that was MJF's storyline. And they dropped it immediately because pro wrestling fans don't like shit like that. They don't want anything to do with that. So I don't think this is going to work. I don't think it's a good idea. And in fact, it's borderline preposterously stupid.
It's so interesting. I was going to say funny, but maybe not funny, that pro wrestling is held to different standards that the rest of entertainment and popular culture isn't held to. Pro wrestling has such a history of being a sleazy, scuzzy business. But any time that it gets sleazy or scuzzy, fans just push back against it, right? So, like, you could do it. Like, you can do stuff like that in other forms of media and get away with it. Like, essentially what Russo describes in part 3 is, like, the book Disclosure and the film, the aforementioned film with Michael Douglas and Demi Moore from the early 90s, right? Yeah. That's what that's about. Like, I don't think it was a good movie, but the book was pretty highly regarded. So, I mean, like, it's so weird that wrestling can't do. There's so many things that wrestling can do. And we oftentimes push into what we're not supposed to do and pushing lines. And the problem is, like you said, the medium is just not mature enough to handle that subject matter. Because yeah. It gets like, it's like, how do you resolve the tension? Well, I'm going to go hit you with a pile driver. Like, it just.
Right. It's too hard to advertise. It is. And, you know, this is a live event business. And people don't go to these live events to feel uncomfortable to that degree. Right. And like in the early 2000s, like they were doing miscarriage angles on WWE television. It was just like, and I think Vince had tried to do that. Like Vince Russo had tried to do that stuff before and Jim Cornette blew up at him. It's like, you just can't do this stuff because it's real life and people get uncomfortable. Being uncomfortable is part of pro wrestling, but they don't want to be uncomfortable to that degree. So there are limitations to what you can do in a world of fiction. So,
yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I would love to see like a J.D. Oliva booked wrestler, not booked by me, but for me, would be something where we kind of got rid of the big video wall. It was just like the arena was more like Lucha Underground, and like you would have regular promos, and anything backstage would have to be like made to look like it's filmed with a phone.
It's funny you bring up Lucha Underground because that's exactly what you're describing.
Yeah, like Lucha,
but without the sci-fi,
without the sci-fi and the magic. I really like Lucha Underground. Like I thought it was a little too telenovela, but that was the audience it was going for. So I mean, like, I can't fault it too much on that. But I would really like to see a wrestling show just kind of blow. And I don't know if it would work though. You know, like, I don't know if fans today really are in tune with what I want to see in a pro wrestling show. Like, I'm sitting here bitching about, you know, the puppet meeting the dolls. Maybe that's, you know, I'm having these existential crises again where I'm like, maybe modern wrestling just isn't really for me, you know, like it just seems like it doesn't go that way. And then you talk about, and I'm not saying, oh, we should do like Me Too stories in wrestling. We should fix it. I don't think we should. But I mean, like, I don't think the answer is doing more puppets. And I think all these AEW fans that say, I want realism in wrestling, I don't want WWE stuff, I don't want fed-pilled stuff, and then loving the Monet puppy, are like, they're the worst kind of hypocrites. You'd say you want an alternative. No, you just don't want to watch WWE because it makes you hypocrites. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. I hate all of it.
Yeah, and My buddy at Junkyard Akiyama on Twitter is calling the Mercedes Moné stuff fed-pilled. And I'm like, as far as I could tell, Mercedes never had a puppet in WWE. This is AEW now. This is just what AEW is now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are making that, like, stop saying that this is WWE influence on AEW. It's been this way for a couple of years. This is just AEW now. Uh-huh. Like, and you can't sit there and watch AEW and then blame Vince McMahon for what's happening to AEW. Tony Khan's the motherfucker in charge, and he's the one greenlighting all this stuff. So you can't blame Jennifer Pepperman and Mike Mansuri. Tony Khan's the guy in charge. It's him. Like, that's who you blame.
And, you know, I know D-Von was really uncomfortable with Tony Khan asking him to wrestle because very clearly D-Von just wanted to be a producer and not want to wrestle. By the way, how did that match in TNA go?
I'll be honest. I this is going to go against the grain of our network here.
Go for it.
I actually liked the match, but I didn't like the melodrama after the match. I thought that was a bit too much. And that took fucking forever. So.
They're all fed guys. So,
but the match itself, like, poor D-Von could barely move, but I thought they did enough stuff in there, and the crowd was up for it. It worked.
Well, and that's why it's fine. I'm like, pro wrestling is fine. If something is directed for a particular audience, whatever, it draws.
Yeah.
Like, I'm more interested in pointing out the hypocrisy, and I don't know if I believe that Tony Khan wanted D-Von Dudley to wrestle on his own. Like, I don't know if I buy that because there's no value in it.
No, yeah, I mean, look, Tony Khan loves himself some Attitude Era wrestling. Yeah. Like, he loves that. For sure. Maybe he thought that he also loves ECW. So I could see him wanting D-Von to do some stuff. And they did bring in D-Von's sons at one point. So maybe they were wanting that to be an act and like a trio's act. And every once in a while he's in the ring. But he did say that he was willing to go there to help his sons get started. And I don't think the guy's lying about that. He did say he didn't like the way AEW was ran, but brother, you never worked there, so how do you know how it's ran? So, like, that was really the only pushback I do on him.
I'm gonna laugh at you if you say I don't want to be a wrestler, but then you go ahead and do your retirement run with the Hardys and Bubba. Like
I'm not gonna. It was a 20-minute match, and it really is the only match he's done.
But they would have done that. But they would have tried to do that in AEW.
He probably thought that AEW wanted him to wrestle a lot, and he just wanted to do the one match. So
I don't know if he won. I don't know. It's whatever.
That's what he said. I'm not going to put words in the guy's mouth. I can't tell you what he wanted to do. It sounds like he didn't want to wrestle a bunch, and he only wanted to do the one match with the Hardys, and that's what.
He's wearing a WWE T-shirt, so I question anybody talking about like the number one competition when you're literally wearing the opposing colors. It's like, I don't know if I believe a professional wrestler, quite frankly, yeah. Mike, of what they say any time, especially when money is involved.
I'll be honest. I don't see why he would lie about Tony Khan wanting him to wrestle.
To get paid.
I don't know. Sure like he's not going back to WWE.
To make sure he was literally wearing a WWE shirt. He's got that sweet ass legend deal. They make sure that check comes every month, man. You don't want to rock that boat.
I don't know. If he did lie, that's not like a lie. That's like a.
Well, I'm just saying he's a wrestler. You bend the truth. I'm just saying you don't come out and say I really didn't want to wrestle. I just wanted to produce immediately after you just did wrestle your retirement match and did a whole thing in TNA and NXT.
Well, like, I think he was talking about before when he was talking with them after he left WWE, because he was a producer in WWE and he got fired there for I think you. Took an indie. He went to an indie show that he wasn't allowed to go to, and he got fired there. So he was in talks to go to AEW, and he just wanted to be a producer. But he said Tony Khan wanted him to wrestle, so he turned the job down. So I don't see that being a big deal. he made the whole thing up. I don't know.
It as a big deal because dick fucks like Jeremy Lambert have to make everything into a goddamn social media war. Anytime some dipshit that happened to Russell 25 years ago says anything about a company, anything, then it has to become a big thing. And then we have to go through this every now and all the bad faith actors have to go off and have to look at WWE Gareth's fucking.
Maybe read a lot of comments because I saw the Russell Purist thing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I moved on. I didn't really see it as a big deal. What I did see was him accusing Jim Ross of being a racist. I did see that one. And
that's far more interesting, actually.
That was pretty – but I didn't see, like, Tony Khan wanting him to wrestle be that big of a deal.
I just think it's – I find it to be – because, again, I read the comments, and I shouldn't read the comments. Someday I'll learn that lesson. I find it to be just hypocritical when you bitch about the one, but you do it for the other. Yeah. What do you think about the Jim Ross being a straight-up racist comments?
I don't know. That's the first time I ever heard that. So he said it out pretty publicly. So I'm not going to call the guy a liar. But I would assume that if you're friends with Jim Ross, you probably think it's not true, but I don't know. I think I would probably need, that's one of those things. Like, I'm not going to sit here like this white dude, 42 years old, and say this black guy was lying about experiencing racism in pro wrestling. Is probably true. So like, and I get the feeling that maybe a 70-year-old man from Oklahoma might have a little racism in him. I think that's also a possibility, but I don't want to brush everybody with the same brush. So I don't know. Like, I don't know. It could be true. It could not be true. That one's tough for me. And I admire Jim Ross. So that one hurts.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
I find that one fascinating because, like, the way they tell the story, he was just so blatant.
Yeah.
With it, especially from a guy who came up under Watts, and like in his book talks about how uncomfortable some of the things Watts says makes him. I don't, it's just, again, this is one of these like and difficult to follow sometimes, because it's like, I can do this, it can be my champion, he can do this, he can make our money. And then by this, out of the other side of his, I can't say when I heard it I was terribly surprised, but at the same time, I'm more surprised it's the first time I've heard that.
Yeah. That's kind of where, that's where I'm at. Like, I don't want to like completely discount it altogether.
No, we can't, we can't do that. Like, yeah. I can't discount. I can discount how his authenticity with dealing with AEW and WWE, but I, as far as I'm dealing with like racism in his company, I can't discount that at all.
Yeah.
I just find it weird that I've never heard anything.
It's one of those things that I think I'm going to like wait to hear more information on the subject. So before I come out calling a brother a racist, especially somebody that I, you know, I admire.
Yeah.
I don't like dogpiling people either. Like,
it's a harsh,
because that situation really could be way more complicated than we even know about. You know, maybe someone interpreted his actions as being racist, but that was not the intention. Like that stuff happens all the time. So I don't know, man. Or he's just a fucking racist, and now we got to get rid of this guy. That could be true too.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our Hall of Fame ballot.
A closet. It'd be a closeted racist at this point, because the man's been. That's the one thing that's wild to me. He's been a part of wrestling for dang near 50 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Let's get to our Hall of Fame ballot. So here, what I'm going to do is JD, we're going to just go over the categories. I'm going to read off the names, and then you tell me who you're voting for from those names. And then I will tell you who I'm voting for. And those of you that want to tally this up, go ahead and tally them up. And then, immediately afterwards, I think I'm probably going to submit my ballot, but, all right. So JD, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. You hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Your video is just behind a little bit, but your audio.
Yeah. I saw that. It freaked me out. So sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's okay. All right. I followed the historical performers era candidates, six maximum. Now, before we get started, I am toying with the idea of not doing all six. Excuse me. I'm toying with the idea of not doing all six. I've been inspired by Jeff Jarrett, but I get the feeling that once I submit my ballot, I'll have six on there. So I'm going to tell you the six that I'm voting for. You tell me the six you're voting for. I'll actually let you go first. But here are the names. Ole Anderson, Afa Nsika, Bullet Bob Armstrong, Tully and Arn, the British Bulldogs, June Byers, Wild Bull Curry, Junkyard Dog, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Pampiro Furpo, Black Gordman and Great Goliath, Archie the Stomper Goldie, Hart Foundation, Sputnik Monroe, Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch as a tag team. Dusty Rhodes is already in as a single. Iron Sheik, Sweet Daddy Siki, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, who had an amazing run in Mid-Atlantic in the early 80s. Mad Dog and Butcher Vachon. And then, of course, Kevin Carey and David Von Erich. JD, who are you voting for from this category? JD, are you there?
So I'm not going to go all six either from this category. Can you hear me?
I think you're just a bit delayed. Can you go out and come back in?
Mike, can you hear me?
All right. JD's got to come out and come back in. And then we'll get him right back in. Okay. All right. So I'll go ahead and give my bell. Oh, JD, are you back?
I'm going to do.
Okay. Yeah. Get out and come back in. All right, little technical difficulties. We were doing so good. Technical difficulties, though. All right, so here is my ballot. Now, I am strongly considering only going three on this, but I'm going to give you guys six just in case. But I am going to go Cowboy Bob Ellis on this one, and I'm going to go Sputnik Monroe. And then I'm gonna do Ole Anderson. So Ole Anderson, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Sputnik Monroe, because Sputnik Monroe obviously helped desegregate the city of Memphis. That I think that is a big deal. Man, I'm on the fence about the Von Erichs. I'm gonna wait for JD's probably gonna try to sell me on the Von Erichs, but and I love the Von Erichs too. But that one's a tough one for me. So let me go back to the list. All right, I'm gonna do Ole. Oh, British Bulldogs. And then I'm doing Cowboy Bob Ellis, Sputnik Monroe. I think that's where I'm at. Ole, Bulldogs, Bob Ellis, and Sputnik Monroe. I think that's where I'm at. I think last year I voted for Wild Bull Curry too. And then I'm on the fence about the Junkyard Dog, and I'm on the fence about the Von Erichs. So those are going to be my picks there. Now, why am I voting for Ole Anderson? You know, he was a long time draw, consistent draw in multiple territories, you know, Atlanta, you know, Georgia, the Mid-Atlantic territory. He toured around everywhere. He was also a, you could probably put him in the non-wrestling performers as well. And if you look at his peak in some of the territories that he was booking, he did great. Right. He booked a lot of different territories. Georgia, I believe he booked in Mid-Atlantic too. And he booked WCW for a little while, although he was not a good booker whenever he had come up to WCW. But that was when WCW was just complete and utter garbage at that point. They weren't doing well. You could probably ask me, why are you not voting for Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch? It's a longevity thing. And they were influential, but you know, Dusty Rhodes, once he broke off, he became this megastar. They were a good act for a short period of time, but I don't think they were an enduring act. Heart Foundation, I feel the same way. They were never really, like when they were in the WWF, they were never really top of the card. They were never really a drawing card. They did have some good matches, but they don't have like this laundry list of like 4 and 5 star classics. They just were never a top act. And I think that if you're going to – tag team wrestling has never really been a top act in the States, with some exceptions, you know, like the Road Warriors and the Rock and Roll Express and teams like that. But why would I vote for the British Bulldogs over the Hart Foundation? And it is simple. It is, you know, influence. They are in their the influence deal. Much like, you know, we'll talk about Sabu later. The Bulldogs – they had a good run, obviously, in WWF, and they had a really good run in Japan. They were never a top attraction in the WWF, but I just feel like they were just super influential on what we see as for tag teams these days. That I don't think that you can deny the Bulldogs. So let me see. Get back to JD. JD, are you back?
I'm back.
Sorry, okay. All right. So here was mine. I'm pretty close to finalizing it, but my historical performers, I'm going Ole. I think I'm going Ole. Cowboy Bob Ellis, who we just found out he died, although it was in 2019. he's been dead for a long time, but British Bulldogs is who I'm going with, and Sputnik Monroe. And I'm thinking about the Von Erichs. I'm like on the fence about the Von Erichs. I did go Wild Bull Curry last year, so I might throw them back on this year. But those are who I'm voting for this year. Do you need me to run down the list again, or do you have it in front of you?
No, I got it in front of me.
Okay. Who are you voting in for historical performers?
I'm 100% on the Von Erichs. I think they have to be in, especially after my conversation with Rich a couple weeks ago about the two of them. About three of them, excuse me. I think they're a no-brainer act, to be honest with you, for me. I think the rest of this list is kind of hard. I will go with Wild Bill Curry because of the historical influence.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that one. I think I might be like, that's why I kept it open a little bit. I might be tossing them in.
I'm also going to go Sputnik Monroe again, historical influence, just based on what he means to the history of professional wrestling, what he means to, you know, the idea of civil rights relations in the city of Memphis, Tennessee. Like, I think that, I think he's too valuable of a personality in this business not to include. And then I'm kind of like, honestly, dude, I'm really kind of on most of this historical list. Like I could be talked into the Dog, you know.
I think Muse talked me into. I think Muse talked me into Bulldogs.
The British Bulldogs, really?
Yeah, I think Muse talked me into British Bulldogs. But you're saying you said the Junkyard Dog though. That's
I could be talked to. I'm not on Junkyard Dog 100%, but I could talk to. I probably will go with Ole. I have had a renewed interest in Ole over the year, so I think Ole. And I think it's just as him as a performer. He's a hell of a promo. He managed drew some great money. He's the reason why he was given opportunities to book. So I think that's kind of where I'm at. I get why Muse would be on with the Bulldogs. I definitely would go with Bulldogs over the Hart Foundation. I think, hey John, I know you're listening to this. Send me why I should vote for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I'm going with Bulldogs over Hart Foundation just for pure influence.
I don't think the Hart Foundation has a leg to stand on as far as the Hall of Fame goes.
They were a really good tag team, one of my favorites as a kid, but they just were never a top attraction. And I just don't think they have the influence that the Bulldogs had. They had longevity in the WWF. But Bulldogs did go to Japan and had a really good run over there. I think they had a match in AWA. I don't think they had more than that, but I just thought the influence, the Bulldogs blow them away. And when they were in the WWF at the same time, Bulldogs were the bigger attraction, I thought.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go modern performers. We got the Briscoes. Edge, Bill Dundee, which Bill Dundee probably should be historical, but he's modern. FTR, Goldberg, Samoa Joe, the Hardys, Becky Lynch, Drew McIntyre, Mercedes Moné, John Moxley, Nash and Hall, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Sabu, Trish Stratus, and Rick and Scott Steiner. JD, I think before you cut out, I was telling the audience, I had listened to Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett does not vote for people who are still active performers like that are full time. So he really whittled his list down, and he actually voted for Nash and Hall for what they did for pro wrestling contracts. And that's why he's voting for Nash and Hall and for what he did to turn around WCW. And I was like, you actually make a really good point. I never thought of it that way. And I also never thought of not voting for performers who are still full time, which would completely eliminate my list from last year. So I do think that's interesting. I don't think I'm going to abide by it, but I thought that was an interesting take on it. And in his way of selling Nash and Hall, I thought was pretty good.
I can understand where he's coming from on that. I think that's a pretty smart way to look at it, in all honesty. I struggle with picking guys who are still like in the middle of their run, right? I don't think it's smart to vote for guys whose story hasn't been completed yet.
Yeah.
Right. No other sport does that. Like no one. Like of course Michael Jordan was for sure Hall of Famer, but I mean like we didn't allow it until they retired. So that's kind of and wrestling is different because who knows when guys retire. So I don't know. I get where he's coming from. I can't fight him on it.
So who are you voting for in this category?
I think Sabu is one of my, thanks to John's article. I think John used wrote a hell of an article on Sabu. I think he's a no-brainer for me, 100%. I go Rick and Scott because of their influence on tag team wrestling, their influence in what they meant to both the U.S. and Japan as a tag team. And then I think John Moxley is, I lean on John Moxley. I'm not in yet with him. I think the only reason I hem and haw is because he's still active.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm kind of on that too. I have a hard time voting for people who are still active. But I do think because
you were big on him last year.
I was big on Moxley last year. And I think he had a great year. I think he proved his worth to AEW and proved his worth to pro wrestling in general and what he means for it. But my attitudes toward electing people that are still active are kind of coming through right now. I kind of feel the same about Cody. I think Cody's a for sure Hall of Famer too, but I hem and haw because they're both still active.
Yeah.
So right now, gun to my head, Steiners and Sabu and probably Mark and Jay Briscoe.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you there. I think I'm going Steiners, Sabu, going Matt and Jeff. I really think that they've in the last year, like they're a big part of the TNA turnaround, and I think they've proven their worth. They're about to get another contract, and they've done a really good job. And longevity's there, but if you could do like a whole article about their influence on tag team wrestling, because without the Hardys, you probably don't get the Young Bucks, and then the Young Bucks will tell you that, right? So I think just historical influence. They are still active, but they're active in TNA, smaller company. They're not really active in WWE or AEW, but what they're doing for TNA, like the business turnaround, like that Bound for Glory, they distributed 7,000 tickets, one of the biggest shows ever, and I'm pretty sure 6,000 of them were because of the Hardys and the Dudleys. So I'm gonna go Hardys. I am on the fence about Goldberg because I'm also on the fence about the Von Erichs, and I think if I go Von Erichs, I got to go Goldberg because I think they got a similar case. So we'll see. By the time I submit my ballot, I might be there. I agree with you. I think Cody is a Hall of Famer. I think CM Punk is a Hall of Famer. I think John Moxley is a Hall of Famer. I just think that they're still active, and these guys that are not like completely active on big time television, I just like, you know, I don't know. I think I'm going to go with keep my ballot small this year. So I'm going to go Sabu, Steiners, and the Hardys, and I might get talked into Goldberg. We'll see. All right.
Yeah, I think you're right about making that list smaller.
Yeah. Well, because I want to target the people that I really want to go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is also a strategy. Like, I really want the Steiners and Sabu, and I know the Hardys are not going to get a lot of votes. So I'm going to vote for them anyway. and I'm going to continue to beat that drum every year. Now I get the feeling Cody Rhodes is going in anyway. Like, and I do think he deserves it. So, but I just, I don't know. I think I'm gonna keep my ballot small this year. I think that's important. All right. I followed wrestling in Japan. Are you going to vote for Japan this year?
I think I am going to vote for Japan this year.
Okay.
Because I think, I really think Hayabusa.
Okay. Influence, right?
Yeah. On the influence alone, the influence okay. of Hayabusa I find is be too important. I think
not Io Sky. You're not going to go Io Sky.
I don't feel like I know.
She's actually great, by the way.
She's great. If you asked me that 3 years ago when she was just Io Shirai, I probably could have been talked into that now. But I feel like her WWE run makes me roll my eyes more, and I find that's more with my distaste for WWE in general, and less to do with her as a performer or what she means to the business.
Yeah.
But I mean, I fucking hate modern day WWE so much that I don't want to think about it. Like,
yeah, it's a Fed bad vote, but she's also still active. So,
right, and that's so colored me there. Like, the same reason I don't really want to put Zack Sabre Jr. in there, right? Like, he's still in there. I could be talking to Tiger Jeet Singh, to be honest with you.
I could
be talking to Takayama.
Tiger Jeet Singh, brother, couldn't work, but he was drawing houses, which is all that's important.
Dude, him and Antonio Inoki almost killed each other in a damn mall to draw attention to shows.
Like, talk about dedication.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, and they drew like that. That a lot of New Japan was built on the back of Tiger Jeet Singh versus Antonio Inoki. Like, you can't have Luke Skywalker without Darth Vader. You can't have Batman without the Joker,
mm-hmm.
right? A babyface is only as good as the heels he works with, and Tiger Jeet Singh was a big part of the early Inoki success. So I could be talked into that. I could be talked into Takayama's a major, I mean, from both pro wrestling and in early MMA. Like, Takayama might be a guy who belongs.
He Takayama wasn't a good MMA fighter, but he did have that fight with Don Fry. And I think that fight should just be in every Hall of Fame, because every goddamn wrestling match has taken from that spot since it happened. The Fry Takayama spot. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just go back and watch it. And it was they legit beat the shit out of each other in that fight. It was insane.
To the point where Takayama's never been the same.
Yeah.
Do you think the Hall of Fame should change a little bit of what they do and include things like feuds and matches and stuff like that?
No. Because then, like, would the Baseball Hall of Fame do, like, games?
Here's the thing, though. Baseball and pro wrestling aren't the same. And I think we fool ourselves when we disingenuously look at that.
No.
Because, like, like Paul Orndorff on his own maybe wasn't a great draw, but Paul Orndorff and Hulk Hogan was like massive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think pro wrestling should be different than baseball. I don't see matches, but I think that they should have a separate category for tag teams? Yeah. Because I think that, you know, it's a different type of attraction. I do think I like the way that it is right now. But I don't know that I would do feuds and matches though. But you certainly could, like, if you do feuds and matches, then you got to, you know, Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, like that feud goes in right immediately.
Absolutely.
Rhodes and Flair. Like, I think that you could probably do 10 right off the top and like, you just automatically put them in, but.
Bix and John Pollock were talking about that. So that's an interesting thought. So I wanted your thoughts.
Where were they talking about it? I'd like to take a look at this post.
This past week's Between the Sheets, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting idea. Let's get to Mexico. Are you doing Mexico?
I don't feel comfortable voting for Mexico. I don't think I know enough.
Yeah. Same here. Although Doral Dixon, I have learned a lot about Doral Dixon. I think I might just look more into him. But yeah, I don't know that I'm going to vote for Mexico. All right. Europe and the rest of the world. Anything on that one?
I don't know any. I mean, like, I know of a lot of these names. Like, I know Dominic DiNucci was huge in Australia, but I know that from being told it, you know, like, I'm
really surprised Spiros Arion's not in. Okay. Given his drawing power all over, specifically in Europe and in Australia, but he was also a draw in New York. So I'm just shocked that he's not in. That one surprises me. I know Jose Torres is like the biggest draw in a specific country. Otto Vons was a big draw in his country, but Spiros Arion was a draw everywhere. So I think I'm just going to vote for Spiros Arion in this category. Is it just making sense? The guy's not in.
I kind of can feel you on that. Like, I know Dominic Nucci was, as I was saying, huge in Australia, but not here.
Yeah.
You know, his biggest claim to fame here was being Bruno's buddy and training Mick Foley and Shane Douglas. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, Adrian, it surprised me that Adrian Street is on this list. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of the, I don't know. Is Adrian Street a huge draw? Like, he was a name and he was a big personality in the
80s. I think he was one of those unique attractions that you can bring into the territory for a little bit of time. And he would pop it, but this is the rest of the world. So I'll have to take a look at what he drew in Australia, what he drew in the UK, and what he drew in the rest of the world. What I do know about him from the States is that he would get brought in and he actually would do a little bit of business because of this unique attraction that he brought. It was like a Rocky Horror Picture Show type stuff that he would bring. And he would get under people's skin with the homophobic type stuff. So,
with his bike next to him, which is so
hilarious. Yeah, with his wife, and he's like one of the baddest. He's probably the baddest motherfucker on the card.
Yeah, he fucked dude up completely. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to non-wrestlers. So seven maximum here, and this is the one where I'm like, a lot of times I go full card, but we'll see. Dave Brown, the Weatherman, Zane Bresloff, very interesting case. Bobby Bruns, Bob Caudle, Joe Higuchi, Jim Johnston, Larry Matisick, James Melby, Bill Mercer, who should be in the Hall of Fame just for interviewing Lee Harvey Oswald right before he died. Gorilla Monsoon, Rossi Ogawa, Reg Parks, Morris Siegel, Tony Schiavone, George Scott, Kevin Sullivan, the wrestler, but he's here as a booker, I believe. Mike Tenay, Ted Turner, Jesse Ventura, Roy Welch, Stanley Weston, the Grand Wizard, and Koichi Yoshizawa. All right, who you like? That's a lot, man. And there's some really good candidates here. Who you got on this one,
dude? This is a hell of a list. Zane Bresloff is always going to be one of my first because I think he's. Yeah. You talk about that WrestleMania 3 attendance. Zane Bresloff's a major reason behind that. You talk about WCW's turnaround in the 90s. A lot of that was Zane Bresloff. Like we talked about, it wasn't just the NWO and Hulk Hogan, right? They had already started turning their ticket buying machine around before that, and that's Zane Bresloff. Like that's. I think he's a much more powerful influence in the history of pro wrestling than people give him credit for. So he's my number one. Just going through this, I think Morris Siegel is the guy I did not have last year, and I was educated after the fact that I probably should have voted for Morris Siegel.
So I had him last year, and I'm still on him, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go Ted Turner. I said it last year. Wrestling without the Superstation is a different place today than it was. And Ted Turner might have been involved, might not have been in day-to-day pro wrestling, but I think his influence is massive. I don't think anybody was more influential in pro wrestling in the latter half of the 20th century and into the 21st than Ted Turner. To the fact that when he got out, the wrestling monopoly began.
Yeah.
Right? That just shows you right there how vital he was. And then Jesse Ventura, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have similar ballots. So I'm going to go Jesse Ventura. I think just for his historical significance, not only as a heel announcer, a heel color commentator, I know Piper was before him, but he really ran with that thing and he really redefined what that role is. And he was a big draw on those WWF cards as an announcer, right? Like he was a big reason why people were tuning in. They wanted to hear what Jesse had to say. He did great. He was a crossover star. His Predator was before Hulk went and crossed over into movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
87. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, did you see that there's a new Running Man coming out?
Yes. Looks great.
So are we doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's got the guy from Twisters.
He's all right. Glenn Powell. They keep trying to make him a thing. This is going to be closer to the Stephen King book, The Running Man, than the Schwarzenegger movie, which Arnold's like, I love the concept, and just threw the whole thing out and did his own thing. Which
okay. The reason why I brought that up is because Jesse's in that, too. So
Jesse is, and he's Captain Freedom. Yeah. Brother. Jesse Ventura was elected governor of a state as his work name.
Yes.
Jesse Ventura was elected, not his birth name.
Yeah.
Like, if that doesn't tell you the influence, I don't think a wrestler has played a bigger role in the history of the U.S. in a non-wrestling capacity than Jesse the Body Ventura.
I agree. And here's one more notch on his belt. Bringing in an agent to handle his contracts. He brought in Barry Bloom, Mr. Barry, and now, like, he to this day, he's about to get Chris Jericho another big contract out of the WWE. And I think Dave brought this up on his show that Jesse like sued the WWF and was able to get royalties on all the home videos that they were making, which trickled down to everybody. So everybody got paid more because of Jesse and the balls that he had with the way that he was making sure that he got what was coming to him. So I those three reasons alone, he deserves to be in. And I'm honestly shocked he's not in, but I think it was just probably just an oversight. But if you really look at what he's brought to the table, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, he is my number one. I know Zane's your number one.
No, Jesse's my number one. Jesse's my number one. Zane got the first one because he was he was alphabetical order.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
I'm looking at the list right now. No, yeah. Jesse's the guy. When I did the show with Rich, I actually said, Rich does this Gordy list. I said, I want to do Jesse. And he's like, Jesse's not a performer. And I said, dude, Jesse needs to be talked about. And it needs to be out because we are guys who have influence. And I like sold Rich on Jesse Ventura as a non-performer.
Yeah.
I think I did. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going Jesse. You talked to me into Ted Turner, so I'm doing Ted Turner this year. I'm going to go Mike Tenay on the Voices of Wrestling website. I did last year, Garrett Kidney did a really good article selling his story, so I'm going to go give him a shout-out. I think everybody should vote for Mike Tenay this year. So I'm also doing Morris Siegel and Zane Bresloff. Yeah, I'm doing Zane. So I just had one more than you. I'm adding Mike Tenay to my list, so.
Mm-hmm. I could be talked into Kevin Sullivan, but I could probably talk into Larry Matisic too. But I think my picks are who I feel like these guys belong.
Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon. I his book just came out. I might take a look at it. I think I just have to learn some more about Gorilla Monsoon. He is one of the voices of my childhood.
Me too.
But I thought that Vince was a better announcer than Gorilla, to be honest with you. During that period, I know people disagree with me, but I thought Vince and Jesse was the better duo. But
I feel like it's weird to say this, but I feel like I don't know enough about Gorilla.
Yeah.
I feel like if I could be educated more on Gorilla's impact, I could be talked into it, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Well, a book did just come out about him. I just have not had a chance to read it. So
same. I should probably get a look.
Yeah. But yeah, so that is our ballots. I'll be turning mine in a little bit later. Probably, well, it's actually getting late here. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks to everybody that jumped in the chat. We greatly appreciate it. I know we kind of just dropped the show tonight. We didn't really give people a heads up. So I hope everybody gets a chance to check it out. Our ballots will be out, and then I'll make sure to tag the ballot tracker guy. Get that on record. But JD, you got any closing remarks for the people before we sign off?
I get to vote in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame.
Yep, same here. All right, that's going to do it for us this time, man. Until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain, on the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-made, no rain.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill three contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.